Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven sent me a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural, special friend of the
saints. Heaven teach me a wonderful, very special friend, beautiful gift.
Oh my,
heaven teach
oh,
me
my Lord.
And whenever I need him,
he is right there.
And his love has
been
moved. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you this evening. Today is Thursday, the 27th of October. We pray that everything is well with you and your family, and we pray that all that you are living the life that God has purposed you and created you for. We open with prayer and scripture, and we're going to share some announcements and upcoming events, and also we're going to share some insights and discussions about encouraging husbands. We're doing a series this month talking about why do we need men's ministry, and our topic is encouraging husbands. Because all men, what we have in common, that we are husbands, fathers, and sons. So those are the three seasons of a man's life. And God has called us to be a certain person, to be that person in those seasons. And he's given us direction and guidance to be the best that we can be, that we can represent him and give him glory in those roles. A role that every young man, every old man is going to have in common, his husbands, fathers, and sons. So tonight we're going to be talking about encouraging husbands. Amen. We're going to open up with scripture and in prayer, and then we're going to start the conversation. We have some guests who called in. We're going to bring them in momentarily. Amen. Well, I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter number 4, starting at verse number 7. Excuse me. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we say thank you tonight. We say thank you, Lord God, for your Son, Lord God. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you, Lord God, have kept us. Father, you have brought us a long way, God, from salvation to this time, oh God. Father, we know that today you are still saving souls, God. You are still reaching those lost, oh God. But Father, today we're praying for encouragement, oh God. Encouragement in our walk, God. Encouragement in our Christian lives, oh God. Encouragement for the leaders and the pastors and deacons and elders and all those who serve behind the scenes, oh God. That they might be encouraged to continue to press in, oh God, to the work of the gospel, oh God. That someone, God, whose life will be saved and soul will be renewed and regenerated. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. This is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about, again, encouraging husbands. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things we're going to touch on tonight. Amen. First, let me bring my guest in. Good evening, sir. How are you? Last four digits, 6560. How are you doing?
God bless you. It's Pastor Watts.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Watts. How are you? Good to hear your voice tonight, brother. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to, everything is going well. First of all, could you introduce yourself to the audience for our first-time listeners, who you are, your location of your church?
Yes. The church is Kingdom Life Church. It's in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's 504 Annabelle Avenue. And we're right, it's the Brooklyn community. It's the south part of Baltimore, just below Cherry Hill. So we're there every Sunday, 9 a.m. Sunday school, 11 a.m. morning worship. And then we're there for Tuesday night prayer. And then Friday night, we call it our Friday night live in Bible class. So that's at 7:30 p.m. on Friday nights.
Amen. 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 Well, thank you, sir. And again, we appreciate you for taking time out of your schedule to join us this evening and join this conversation and be part of the sharing and your insights and wisdom to what we're going to talk about tonight. As we we're going to speak about encouraging men, and we just want to touch on a few things and in conversation that someone might be blessed and encouraged in their marriage, because we see marriage as the foundation. It's the foundation for the church, foundation for the community, for the culture. You know, that commitment of a man and a woman and committing to one another and also raising a family and raising their children in a godly manner. And we have to understand, you know, without God, it is possible, but is it glorifying God? And for us as Christian men and Christian husbands, we should be striving to be able to be that light in the midst of it all, no matter where we came from, no matter how our parents' marriage was or what we thought marriage was, or even the marriages we've seen growing up. If we are called to be husbands, we're called to set the standard. You know, it was an old sermon a long time ago I heard from a marriage ministry that men, we're the thermostat, and our wives are the thermometers. So if we set the temperature and the tone in the home and in the marriage, it'll be reflected in our wives and our children, and we have to remember that responsibility. Amen. So today we just want to encourage on some things. And Pastor, I just want to get your insight about some things that, you know, all marriages are not perfect, and we are all not perfect, but there's some things that, again, when we're talking about, you know, encouraging brothers, we want to be able to come to you in the body of Christ and encourage you. And in sometime encouragement, we have to ask men to look at themselves and look where they are and look at the state of their marriage and the state of their relationship with their wife, and then take the opportunity to correct those things. And that's when we call, when we are in true fellowship and we are truly connected and we're looking to encourage one another. And it said, the scripture I was reading, it said, you know, that fervent love one to another and help one another and be hospitable. And we have to, and that to me, when I read that, I see that we have to be in relationship. We have to be in true relationship with each other. We have to move past the superficial, especially for men. I know as when men come together and we gather, there's a time, that grace period when everybody's got, you know, their best foot forward, and we got our best suit on, and we got our shields up, and through time of in fellowship and connecting and realizing that we all go through the same things, and that some of us have been through some things, and we see other brothers that are going through it, and we should be able to get to the point where we can share, have a testimony that might encourage someone that they can continue to press and they won't give up on their marriage, their family, or even give up on their situation because it might be testing and trying. So that's why one of the things that stirred the passion for us is here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, to be able to share with men, to encourage them to keep on, press on, and then seek God for the guidance and direction and seek godly counsel in all things. You know, sometimes we look for solutions in our own mind or in our own experiences, and sometimes that's not good. But, you know, that's why we definitely have a passion for the time when men come together, men of God come together, and reason these things out. Amen. So, Pastor Watts, let me begin. Let me start with you. There's a couple of topics we're going to talk on. First, I just want to get your insight on, we have seven things to stop in your marriage, and we have seven things to start in your marriage. So we're going to alternate back and forth and share in discussion and share with insight with some of the other brothers who are on the line. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in and join the conversation by calling in at 646 668 2636. And you want to join the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad and we'll bring you in and let us know that you want to share something or you want to be part of the discussion. Amen? Amen. So, Pastor Watts, let me start with, we're going to start with, you want to start with something good or something bad first?
All right. Well, we can start with something good. I think we should start
with something good.
Especially something that you said, something that we should do. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, one of the things we should start doing in our marriage.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get to the other stuff, the more common stuff. Of course, we know communication and things like that. But something I don't think that happens too frequently, if I can say, because I didn't always pray, and I was a preacher then. And so was my wife. She was in church and saved for a while, so we didn't pray. We didn't really pray, so that was the thing that kind of transformed our marriage, and was praying together, which was different, very different. A lot of people say, what does that mean? We actually physically got down on our knees. She came to my side of the bed, and we prayed together. We took turns and prayed before we went to sleep. And that was different. It felt awkward at first. It didn't feel real. It didn't feel realistic. But the outcome was that we bonded together in a different way. We looked forward in praying. We made sure that even if we had disagreements that day, that we knew we came together before we went to sleep. That we wasn't just saying, you know how some people say, you know, you don't go to bed mad at your spouse. So prayer, by us praying before we went to sleep, it made us come together. And you cannot go to God any kind of way. You can't even pray until you ask for forgiveness and things like that. So it kind of brought a different perspective to our marriage. So I think prayer is important. It's different. I don't know too many people who pray together. They might pray together on getting a new car, getting a new house. But I'm talking about husband and wife coming together and praying on your knees before you sleep. I think that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. What do you think?
Amen. So, you know, you're right. That's one of the things that, you know, that's one of the things that come up a lot when we're in our men's groups, you know, that trying to get to that place, you know, and sometimes it can be a challenge. You know, it really can. I remember in a men's session with some brothers, and we were talking about this, that, you know, praying together. And I think, you know, for a lot of brothers, you know, it's, well, let me just share what the brother shared with me, and I want to get your insight on this. Because, you know, his wife was in church first. She came to the Lord before him, and he came after. So she was at a place, seemingly, where her prayer, she had a more fervent prayer life. And then trying to pray together, he would truly feel like a little bit intimidated, you know, and that would make him, you know, shut down because, you know, quote unquote, he couldn't keep up with her prayer and trying to pray together. And we shared with him in that room that, you know, that's one of the things when you talked about earlier about communication, that we say, you know, he needs to communicate that with his wife so that maybe she can now adjust how she does. And so that it's an environment again, where he can hear God and he can pray the way he prays and not trying to make it a competition. What do you think about that, sir?
Well, for me, I guess I look at it a little different because it was new to me, and I was a preacher. I've been preaching over 20-something years, and I've prayed by myself. I've always prayed by myself, you know. I've prayed for people. I've prayed with people in intercession. but never did this type of prayer. And it's not about competition, unless that's your framework or your mindset. I prayed. We didn't go to God like, and I'll say it this way, and I hope I'm helping somebody. Just as you and I are talking, that's how we prayed. Now, for the Pentecostal groups that I'm a part of, most of us, well, not most of us, some of us, traditionally pray with a certain style. You know, sometimes we hum and moan and come on, Jesus, and all that kind of stuff. But when my wife and I was praying together, we didn't pray like that. It was more like we was really talking to God. She went first, and then I went second, and sometimes I went first, and she would go second. We went into it, and I guess it's here we go, communication again, which is it is very important, communication. It's very important. I guess maybe that should have been the first thing, but we knew going into this that we needed help from God. And so however I was feeling and whatever my insecurities were and whatever her insecurities was, our prayers was that we covered each other in the prayer. And so I think you have to go into it with a different mindset and understanding that when you go into this prayer, it's not about you. It's not about performance. It's about openness. If you're going in there as a performance, or if she's going in there, well, I'm going to intercede or whatever, you're missing the whole point of why you and your spouse is going to God together. So I encourage brothers, I don't even care if you pray 2 minutes. If that's your part, that's your part. If that's all you need to say, and you're very specific, there's nothing wrong with that. Some nights I didn't pray long. I didn't pray long because I was tired. There were some nights that I didn't want to pray. I didn't feel like I was like, oh, my goodness, you just got in. I'm tired. And so I said, honey, you start off first. She would start off, and then I would let her pray the majority of the time. We didn't pray long. It'd been like 5 minutes, 10 minutes top, but she would pray the duration, and I would just close. Lord, we thank you, and I agree with what my wife prayed about. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I guess when you have a different mindset, I was saying, thinking that this has something to do with longevity. No, it has all to do with your relationship with the Lord. So if you change your perspective and change your mindset, I think you would benefit, or the persons that try this will benefit. What you think?
Amen, sir. You know, I appreciate that, because I pray that what you're saying will help someone, because, you know, it's exactly, you know, it's that if you take that quiet and that meditation time and come together, you'd be surprised at things that can happen that can, God can use and work out between you. So I just do want to continue to encourage folks to work through that process and take the wisdom that's being shared here tonight on that prayer, because, again, when you ain't coming to agreement, you're a partnership. You're one flesh. So at that time of prayer, you have to get to that place. And for my husbands that are listening, for my men that are listening, and even, you know, some wives be tapping in every now and then, discuss how you're going to put the format of the prayer. Discuss what's going on, what you're praying about, what you're coming together, you're coming to God with. And that, so, you know, like the pastor shared, sometimes his wife would pray and he would close out, or she would pray, then he would pray. I mean, these things, we can be strategic about what we're doing, because, again, we're looking to seek God. Yes.
Can I tell the truth?
Yes, sir.
I need to tell the truth, because most of the time, my wife prayed the most, and I closed out. I learned to submit, because she was gifted in that. when mm-hmm. she prayed things, she knew how to articulate certain words that I didn't have. So I would let her take the lead because I knew that there were things that she could go deeper as a woman that I couldn't go as a man. And so I understood that. And so I would let her take the lead. It was a lot of times. But it didn't mean that I couldn't pray. I mean, I could pray. I could pray for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. But that wasn't the case. The case was that we came together. We was going to do this together. And whoever could reach God, you know, at that moment, because it was times where at nights that I felt like praying. You know what I mean? I felt like, okay, this I feel like praying, and I feel I got some things I need to say to God. And I prayed, and she closed out. I think, as you said, that, you know, you got to communicate. It's not about who can do more, who can do better. It's about you and your spouse coming together as one and completing each other. That's what marriage is. You cover each other, you know, spiritually and naturally. And so, therefore, whoever can get to God at that moment, at that time, you know, the other person just say, amen, I agree. And if that's all that a person can say, you have said more than enough. So I thought I would say that. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Amen, bro. That's all right. That's all right. Cause, you know, that helps somebody right there. You know, and again, you know, it, like you said, that's the greatest thing I want to emphasize, that you're a team. You're working this thing out before God together. And if you have that mindset, and then you mentioned it earlier that it's not a competition, you know, who can shout and spit and sweat and fall out. You know, it's you coming together as one in the presence at the throne of grace and looking for answers that's going to help your marriage and your family. So if we go in with that mindset, I think that would help a lot of the issues for husband and wife. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Man's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor John Watts from Kingdom. Oh, my God. I just lost the name of the church. Oh, Kingdom Life, right?
Yes, it's Kingdom
Life.
Oh,
man, I just drew a blank. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's Pastor Watts anyway. It's Pastor Watts. I know his name. This church is lost me. Amen. Amen, amen. Pastor, well, hold on, Pastor. We got someone wanted to share something. Your last four numbers are 4-2. 5-3. Yes, can I help you, brother?
God bless you. How are
Hello.
You, Deacon Farr?
Oh, good. Who's this?
This is Brother Boone.
Oh, Brother Boone. How you doing, brother? I got you.
Yeah,
good evening, sir.
Good evening.
All right. Brother, you know, you just reminded me of something. You know, I know something's going on in your church there, and I'm praying for, you know, I'm praying for healing and recovery. I don't want to share it, you know, openly, but I've heard some other brothers told me, but just let your church family know that I'm praying for them, and I'm praying for recovery and restoration, and that you'll be blessed there. They're covered up.
God bless you. Thank you. Yes, I actually just came from choir practice, and we said the same prayer for you, but I will mention that, pass it on to his family.
All right. Amen. Amen. Do you want to share anything, brother, about our topic tonight?
Yes, very, very, very great topic, prayer, the power of prayer, and when there's two or more, we all know that when there's two or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So what better way to be able to, I know we have to have our own prayer closet. I know we're, as a family, as a marriage, as husband and wife, we're not always together. So we count on the power of prayer when we're away from each other for protection. But once we're together, to bring that together and knowing that Jesus is in the midst, that is something special. What do you think?
Amen, sir. Amen. I agree. That's definitely what we ought to do. Because together, if we unite together, the enemy, there can be no footholds and no gaps, and no way where the enemy can get a foothold into our marriage, into our lives. And prayer is one of those weapons we can use that will make sure he keeps the things out. Amen. So one of the things that in saying that, we want to make a transition. And Pastor Watts, I want to talk about one thing. One of the things we need to stop doing in our marriages, and I want to get your insight and wisdom on that. One of the things is, are we living with unrealistic expectations of our spouse, and how that can be hurting to the marriage relationship and hurting to the family when we have unrealistic expectations. And is that one of those things that we have to really look at ourselves in the mirror and determine what are we holding over our wives, or do we have expectations for our wife to do something that's not who she is, or we expect her to be somebody that she's not, and we're constantly becoming to the point where she feels we're her security, her confidence level, we're not encouraging her. In other words, we're trying to make her again. We have unrealistic expectations, trying to make her into something that she's not. How damaging do you think that can be to a marriage, and why do we need to stop it?
Well, because if it's something that's unrealistic, then that means that it's basically not true. My concern is, and I've been dealing with this with my congregation about assumptions, about assuming, about assuming that a person already knows. And so when you assume, that means you didn't do an investigation. You're expecting something to happen. And here we go. You have not communicated. And this goes back to communication as well. You haven't communicated. And then so you're assuming that this stuff would be taken care of or done or fulfilled, and you haven't communicated anything. So I think assumptions is something that's hurting marriages as well, as we assume that our partner or each other will just automatically pick up the pieces automatically. This is what you're supposed to do, and this is how it's supposed to happen, and you yourself haven't articulated, what you wanted. Like for me, for instance, I would say that, if you have a woman that works all day long, taking care of the kids, whatever, you come home from work, you might be the last one. And so you expect them to be on the table every night, but you haven't articulated that one of the nights she has to take the kids to basketball practice. She doesn't get home until 8 o'clock, and you just get home just a little bit after her. So you automatically assume that she's going to fix dinner. She could be tired or whatever. But if that's not communicated and you're expecting this, it can do real damage. That's something that's unrealistic. I think a lot of times in marriages, when your expectations are unrealistic, you start hurting your partner. And usually if they don't meet those expectations, usually arguments and disagreements happen, which starts to deteriorate the foundation, because here we go back again, that hasn't been communicated. It's just like you're assuming or expecting this to be without communicating it. What are you saying?
Amen, sir. I'm keeping track here, because I think this is the fourth time you said communication. So that's our foundation here. Because, again, a lot of the things can be, we can cut some stuff off if we just talk to one another. We can be proactive in a lot of things that go on in our marriages, and we can be proactive with it if we would just talk to each other. And I think that's one of the basics and one of the foundational thoughts that we definitely have to be able to start with marriage. I don't care if you've been married a year, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, or 6 months. If you're not talking to one another about the real issues, I used to tell folk a lot of time, you know, when we dating, we don't talk about nothing when we dating and we courting because we just trying to impress everybody. We don't want people to think that we, you know. But once you're married, start talking about some real stuff, and you'd be surprised. It'll head off a lot of things. Amen. Amen. I wanted to bring a pastor on, Pastor Alexander Butler. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful, good friend. Praise God.
Praise God, sir. I've seen you here, and I wanted to, well, a couple of things I wanted you to share about your upcoming event. This is our commercial. Everyone hold on. This is a commercial upcoming event in Baltimore. I want you to share a little bit about that, and then you can give us some insight on our subject, if you would like, what we're talking about tonight.
Sure, beautiful. We have an upcoming play to raise money for the homeless and those less fortunate, and it's entitled Church Hurts, and Those People Are Crazy, I Quit. It's going to be November the 4th at 7:30 p.m. at Goucher College here in Towson, and we welcome all to come. We break a lot of the traditions and the religious thinking behind church, and we minister to those individuals who've really been hurt in church, and we also display to the audiences what the pastors and the leadership go through behind the scenes in church, because they are so often misunderstood. It's not that they're all sinful and conniving and hypocritical. There's just so many of us who are misunderstood. So I pray that we are able to carry our message in a creative way outside of the four walls and lead other people into the house of God who normally won't come to the house of God. So prayerfully, this creative arm of ministry can draw other people to Christ. As far as some of the questions that you've posed this evening, I think false expectations sometimes, or if not in many cases, I think one of the struggles is that we put false expectations on our partners because we're hiding something within ourselves. And it is the greatest way to push the light or the focal point from ourselves to the other person. And so much stuff is hidden behind the false expectations that we put on the people that we are in relationship with. And the damage that it does is, it's enormous, because historically, going back, you can see that people don't just break up in their relationship, but because we represent God, and we are supposed to be the witnesses of God here on earth, people tend to walk away from God because we've done so much damage in the name of God. And we put these false expectations out there because we don't want people to really see that we are scared, we're intimidated, we're vulnerable, we're broken, we're hurt. We don't have great track records ourselves in particular areas. So instead of revealing that and being transparent the way that we are supposed to be, so often we kind of push that aside. And in the process of doing that, we never give God the opportunity to break us down and reshape us and mold us and redevelop us and disciple us. And trust me, I get it. I understand the fear and the insecurity that comes along with having to make changes in areas in our lives that, you know, we aren't good stewards in ourselves. But the same thing that we preach to the masses is the same thing that God desires of us. And I think I like to sum it up in, you know, it's self-evaluation, where we have to confront self with the truth of God and not push any expectations on anyone else if we can't live up to those expectations ourselves. And I've counseled so many couples, and one of the prevailing struggles that we have in couples today, whether believers or unbelievers, it's the fact that you expect me to do something beyond what I'm capable of doing, but meanwhile, you're not living up to those same expectations. So, again, I get the source. There's a place of insecurity and vulnerability because we are about to be exposed, and our wives may not look at us as being great leaders if she discovers that this is an area that we're not that good at. But, you know, God said, I will send someone fit for you. And that means I'm fit to help meet needs. So even if there's an area of imperfection or weakness, God sends us beautiful, dainty wives. Of course, you know, some of them may be wrapped up in shells, and we have to break through those layers and barriers to get to the to those deeper beauties, but we're no different. And God sends us our beautiful wives to help strengthen us and help us to overcome. But how can they do so if we're constantly pushing the responsibility, pushing the focus away from having to change ourselves, and we put all this on our children and we put it on our wives, and then before you know it, no one wants to be a child of God anymore with you anyway. They rather go somewhere else and try to start all over again, and all we do is push people away from God when we do that.
Amen. Amen, sir. Thank you for that. You know, I'm sitting here listening to myself and taking notes, because when you said that, sometimes we do things to cover up our own shortcomings so we can take the focus off us, because we think, and, you know, that's one of our it can be character flaw that we need to be able to look in the mirror and realize that we want to focus on someone else so we don't have to look at ourselves and start to let God change us. And we need to come with this as fathers and husbands, and be able to come under submission in that area. But, you know, it's easy to put it off on our wives, and that's the struggle. But, you know, we have to, sometimes we just have to man up. Amen. I appreciate you, Pastor. I appreciate you for coming. Real quick, could you give folk, how can they reach out to you to get tickets for the play or find more information about it?
Yeah, sure thing. Our website is www.loveworks.org. That's LOV. The numeral 3, WORKS.org. Go to the website. They're also giving free tickets away on Heaven 600. So you can even go to their website, heaven600.com, and then go to our contest page and win some free tickets as well. Please come out to support us as we continue to help those who are less fortunate. We run our plays every year in November, because that's when the homeless population suffers the most, right when the winter months begin to come. And we have to purchase tents and comforters and pillows and alcohol and peroxide and toothpaste, and we just have to purchase so much stuff in the wintertime. So we try to run our place so we can raise so much money so that the church itself doesn't have to put all the money out, because we're a very small ministry. I love what I do, and I'm going to continue to serve the people of God until I die. And I pray that my dear brothers that are on the line tonight and those who are listening to this audio feed, I pray that the warriors really step up and become warriors, that we're not just thinking about physical fights and physically protecting our families, but spiritually protecting the integrity of believers, and keeping the enemy hands off of our churches and our families and our brothers and sisters who are homeless, that don't have anyone defending them. As a matter of fact, our city is taking everything from them, every little bit that they have left. So I pray that we all come together as true warriors. And that's another one of those areas of vulnerability, because, you know, the Bible describes us as warriors, and we know who we are supposed to be, but so many of us, we still struggle with the Gideon syndrome. I pray that we go through the things that are necessary in our lives for us to really begin to believe what the anointing of God is trying to do in our lives, so that we can then see ourselves as spiritual warriors and begin to protect the anointing that God gave us all around us.
Amen, sir. I appreciate you, bro. And I'll definitely be on the fourth. I hooked up with Brother Marlo Hargrave for my tickets. I got him. I'm good. I got it.
Amen. Amen.
I got mine, so I'm good.
The last production, you were front and center, man. It was such a pleasure to meet you. That was my first time meeting you, man. It was such an honor.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I appreciate meeting you, too. And, you know, and again, you can sit in the front, too, because I got there early. So, you know, it's just like, you know, because it was a full house, but you get there early, you can get a front row seat, because it's first come, first come seating. So I encourage you to come out. Amen. Well, Pastor Butler, we'll talk again, brother. God bless you. You know, thank you for taking time to call in. And just God bless you in your ministry, and we'll be in contact.
Looking forward to a good friend. I love all you fellow warriors, and hopefully we meet sometime soon.
Amen. 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 You're listening to Deacon Thomas Farr's Issues Christian Men's Talk. That was Pastor Alexander Butler from Love Works Ministry, and they're doing a play, Church Hurts and Those People Are Crazy. It's a live stage play. It's a fundraiser for this church's outreach ministry. It's going to be on November the 4th, 2016, at 7:30 p.m. The tickets are $22 and $27 at the door. You can also, if you go to the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, the link is there. It's posted. If you have a pen and paper, the phone number is 443-386-7360, where then you can reach out to him and get some tickets. And his guys, his people, his brothers everywhere got tickets. You reach out to me, and I'll send a guy to give you a call, and you can get some tickets from him. Amen. You can save that $5 because you can, you know, you pay $27 at the door, you can get it for $22. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go back to what we were discussing tonight because we're discussing the topic is why we need men's ministry, and we're talking about encouraging husbands tonight. And we touched on some of the things that we need to stop doing, some of the things we need to start doing. And we're going to go back to our topic here. We're going to talk about some of the things we should start doing. Focusing on some fun and joy. Again, as husbands, we are called to be able to set the atmosphere. And, you know, I know ministries, I know pastors, I know marriage ministries, and everyone talks about date nights. But unfortunately, when we talk about date nights, a lot of you brothers leave it up to your wife. So, and then, you know, you're doing something and just because you put your time in, you know, did you really enjoy yourself? Did your wife enjoy yourself? Or are you just doing it out of habit? And that's one of the things we have to be careful about in marriage, that we don't get into ruts and habits. We're not spontaneous. There's no fun and joy in our marriage. Amen. Let me bring another brother in here who's here. Pastor Larry Watkins, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hello, Deacon Farr.
How are you there?
I'm well. Hello, Deacon, sir. I'm well, sir. How are you?
Excellent, excellent, brother. Good to hear your voice. The joy, brother. Tell us about the joy. Bringing the fun and joy into marriage. What do you think, man? How important is that?
I think it's very important. We always make the statement, you know, whatever you did to get her, you got to do to keep her. And that means that, you know, the same fun and enthusiasm that you brought in trying to obtain her and to get her to fall for you, you now have to do to keep her in that kind of state as well. You know, we all, like you said, we all try and plan date night, but then as time goes on, that date night begins to become haphazard. You know, we do it on a whim, or we don't plan for it, or we do whatever, and it's all about the conversation. Well, you know, what do you want to do? And it goes back and forth. Well, what do you want to do? You know, and do you want to go eat? Well, I could go eat. You know, and it becomes monotonous. It becomes rote, and it becomes, you know, repetitive. And because of that, it loses the fun, it loses the fizz, it loses the excitement. We need to be able to be creative in the things that we do. Bring back the fun into the marriage. Bring back the fun, the things that we used to enjoy doing together before we got married. We now need to begin to bring those back into the marriage to make sure that we continue to do them after we got married, after we get married, because those are the things that's going to help to bring, you know, even the intimacy back into, bring the intimacy into the relationship, because we're doing stuff that we enjoy doing together. But these are the things that we have to do. Like I said, we did it to get her. We're going to have to do it to keep her. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, I thank you for that. That's an old soul song, but I ain't going to tell nobody that. That's the watch, sir. What do you think, sir? What do you like to add to that about the importance of being that, bringing that joy and love and all that stuff into the marriage? You know, if it's like 5 years, 10 years, whatever, you have to. We as men, we have to be responsible to stir it up. What do you think, sir?
Well, I'm going to talk about myself. I mean, that's what keeps me going. We vacation, even if we just go over by the airport and go in a hotel. We both love to go on vacation. We both love to go away. We go to Baltimore sometime and just eat at a restaurant and stay in a hotel. That's our time that's what we like to do. And it has to be something that's common, you know. That's a kind, you know, I can, me and my wife can jump in the car and just drive and go to Myrtle Beach or something like that. So, but it has to be something that you and her both like to do. You know, you both of you all like to do that, and you keep it up. And sometimes you have to, I remember my former pastor had told us years ago when we was doing our premarital counseling, and I was like, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He said every now and then, if you're going to have to create a date night, you have to use a calendar and say, we're not going to plan nothing on that day. It's going to be you and I, and we're going somewhere, or we're going to do something, or we just going to stay home and not do anything. And so in those things, you know, they count, and even the spontaneous things. And that's another thing that my wife loves and enjoys, because both of our schedules are very busy. I pastor a church. I work a 9-to-5. I am in school at night. She works for Johns Hopkins, and then she deals with the kids. And so, and then like tonight, I'm on a radio call, and then I'll be in church tomorrow night, and then I'll be teaching again on Saturday, and then we'll be in church all day Sunday. So, and so those, and then right after that, we plan for next month that we're going to Chicago. So those things are very important, you know, that me and her time, that's our time, that's away from the kids. So, but also being spontaneous, just do it. Just as the Nike commercial said, just do it. Don't even make a plan. Just one day, just say, let's just go. Let's just go somewhere and just get a bag together, throw everything in the bag, and just do it. We have did that many times, and just drove, and wherever we ended up, that's where we were. So the fun, that makes it fun. And, you know, for her and I, we don't require a whole lot. It doesn't even take a whole lot of money to have fun, you know. So that's what we do. And I'm speaking from my perspective, just maybe giving somebody some advice that you don't even have to spend a whole lot of money. Matter of fact, sometimes you don't even have to leave the house. Just turn the TV off, put the iPhones up or Galaxy phones, and just say, hey, we're going to play a game. Let's you and I play a game together. Let's play cards. And that time right there makes it fun. So what do you think?
Amen, brother. I'm writing all this down because, you know, I got to come up with some stuff, and I like what you're saying there. But you're right. You're right. It's not that hard. And for all my brothers out there who go to work, come home, go to work, come home, too tired, watch the game, go home, go to church, go back. The pastor right here is a very busy man. I just, his schedule right now makes me tired just listening to him this upcoming weekend. So if he could do make time and have this on his mind, because the whole thing what we do here at Issue Christian Minister, we want to give an unction into your spirit. We want to plant something in you. You know, you ain't good to run out and do this tomorrow or this weekend, but look down the road. You have to set a vision. If you're the visionary in your home, and if you heard something tonight that planted a seed in you and gave you to think about something, then now put it into work. Plan it out. The pastor said sometimes it's spontaneous. Spontaneous. Other times you put some work into it. Because, again, if you make a reservation in a hotel far enough in advance, it's very cheap. Again, you know, and again, you don't have to go that far. You can go from here to Annapolis, stay in a hotel down there, here to Philly. Philly's 2 hours away. Spend a night in Philly, come back. You could be here back on Sunday. Yes, sir.
I just want to say this, and I don't know why I'm sitting here on the side of the bed. There's a brother listening that might not have the money to do that. You know, I remember when we first got married and we were going through so much, I mean, financially. And not even when we just got married, when we started this ministry, my wife and I, we took from our house. And I remember telling my wife, and this was in the first part of our marriage before I started, I remember telling my wife one night, I said, Dave, if you stick with me, we'll be able one day to go to all the restaurants that the other couples in church go to. I remember that we could not even afford to do it. You know, so we had to, without saying all of my business on the radio, but I remember buying a box of cereal that we liked, that we both liked, and eating it. And we being happy. I remember just taking the drive. And we didn't have no money to go anywhere. We just got in the car and drove and just went back home. So all of that is important. And so if there's a brother out there that feel like, well, hey, you know, I don't have it yet, just whatever you do for your wife, she'll be happy. She'll be happy. So I just wanted to put that out there because I remember those days and I look where I am now and, you know, we can both get on a plane and go wherever we want. We go lay on the beach together in Jamaica. But I remember a time that we couldn't even do that. I remember a time that we didn't have enough money to go stay in a hotel. But whatever you do, you create the fun and be spontaneous. And just, you know, sit together at the dining room table and cook a meal, eat some rice and gravy, and say, hey, this our date night, whatever it is, as long as she's happy and you happy, that's the most meaningful thing. So, brother, if you out there, you feel like that you feel like that you're not a man because you're not providing or seeing what other couples do. I remember, and I'm going to say this, Deacon, I'm going to let you come back on and talk. I remember I couldn't buy my wife a card. And I remember going online. I looked up different sayings of cards, and I made my wife a card. And I never forget that. She held on to that card and said this was more than any other cards that I've bought her in the past and stuff, but we was going through financially. And so I made her one. I made a card from scratch. So when you just do whatever, love covers everything else. So I'm going to stop before I start getting emotional. But if I feel you, brother, out there, I don't know who I'm talking to. Your day is coming. You just keep on doing what's right. Keep on trying to provide. Keep on being spontaneous in prayer and communication, and you're going to have that time where you can treat and do whatever you want to do with your wife. What you think?
Amen. Amen, Brother Pastor. I thank you for that, because that's a testimony right there that this might encourage a brother. If that someone's listening, someone's going to listen, someone's going to hear that and be encouraged by that. So I thank you for your transparency and in sharing that, because you're right. Everybody's not where they want to be, and they're not where God has planned for them to be. But they have to endure, they have to persevere, and in that together as one flesh to get where we want to get. We have to have a vision. We have to have a vision for our marriage, for our family, what we're going to do. We're content where we are, and we're not letting it stress out. That was one of the things. We're going to do this again because we're getting close to the end, but it's financial, because a lot of marriages, the financial stress that on couples is why a lot of couples are at each other, you know, and your testimony is sharing when we didn't have, are we still able to encourage one another and love one another in spite of, and the love is not about stuff anyway, but that's a whole other show and discussion and teaching. Amen. Amen, brothers. Again, I thank all y'all. Thank y'all for being on. We're going to go around the horn real quick. And I just wanted to get you some closing, closing remarks. And Pastor Watts, I wanted you to close us out in prayer at the end of the show. Amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're here with Pastor Larry Walker and Pastor John Watts. And we were discussing and encouraging husbands, some of the things that we need to start doing in our marriages, some of the things we need to stop doing. And we pray that something that tonight was said that would encourage you to continue to press, no matter what situation is going on in your marriage relationship. If you're struggling, I say to you, hang in there, continue to pray, seek God, and just work it out. Because, again, our trials and our struggles should draw us closer to each other and closer to God. Don't let whatever's going on, your circumstances, separate you. You know, I know couples who struggle with stuff. I know couples who got evicted from their homes, and you know your spouse. If that would have happened, would that have drawn you together, or that would have been the ways that Christ? That would have been the thing that the Satan would have put in your marriage to break it. And I've known couples who have separated for a year, 18 months, but then were reconciled and fixed that thing and moved forward on. So whatever you're going through, I encourage you not to give up. Seek God, seek the counsel, seek wise, godly counsel for your marriage and for you to steadfast in the things of God. And God is going to work it out. He's going to give you the answer. Amen? Amen. Again, this is Ministries Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always listen to the rebroadcast of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr. You can also call in every Monday and Thursday by calling at 646-668-2636. We have a Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can link there, join us there, send us messages on that. Also, we have a Twitter account, Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. You'll get updates and downloads of when we download new shows or we're broadcasting live. You can follow us there. We have devotionals. We share upcoming men's events in the community, a gathering of men, prayer breakfasts, teaching opportunities where men are coming together just in fellowship. So we encourage you to reach out to us there. Pastor Watkins, I'm going to come with you, sir. And then Pastor Watts, you can give your closing statement and then pray us out. Pastor Watts, we'll start with you. I mean, Pastor Watkins, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Deacon. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to the conversation today, and as a pastor who is newly married, I've only been married for 5 years, I appreciate the wisdom and the brain trust that you and Pastor Watts bring to the conversation. For those of us that are newly married and are new to this thing, even though, you know, 5 years may seem like a lot, it's still just, I'm still just a toddler in this marriage, and I'm still learning and still experiencing things. And I appreciate the things that you say. I appreciate the transparency that you brought to the conversation. And I just wanted to say thank you. And it's been a great pleasure for me to be on the conversation in the midst of you two great gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Pastor Watts.
Yes, sir. Let us pray. Just before I pray, I want to invite anybody out for tomorrow night. Bishop Sean Tyson from Youngstown, Ohio, will be speaking at my church, which is at 7:30, Kingdom Life Church, 504 Annabelle Avenue, for my Shepherd's Month. We ended my appreciation, and then on that Sunday at 4 o'clock, we're all coming together for my appreciation service. So if you're not doing nothing, come through. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this hour that you've called us together, God. God, I thank you for you sending your word that three, four cord would not be easily broken, God. And I thank you for bringing Deacon Thomas Farr and Pastor Butler and Pastor Watkins together, Lord, myself, to speak and to encourage some man, some person that's out there and may be listening. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you would dispatch your ministering angels with excellent strength that hearken to your word, to go out in the airways, God, and to massage and to encourage and to strengthen a man's heart, that he would follow after you and do what you called him to do in this last and evil day. Let him be a man of valor, a man of purpose, a man of prayer, a man of destiny, which you've already called him to be. And God, I pray that you would use him for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, gentlemen. I thank you very much, and God bless you, and we'll talk real soon. Have a wonderful evening.
God bless.